Good morning. My name is Andrew, and I'm one of the occasional preachers here at St. Matt's. So while the children are doing their activities, we're continuing to look at the account we've just had read to us when Jesus went back to his home in Galilee. Skeptical people say that seeing is believing, but many of the most important things in life are things we cannot see directly, although we can see evidence. For example, I'm sure that my wife and my children love me. Last year, we were all given a lot of new information about a new disease caused by a tiny virus that we can't see. Can I have the next slide, please? Thanks. Most of us believed what the experts and official organizations told us, but not everyone. Brian and Erin Hitchens had read online that the COVID virus didn't really exist, or that it was linked to 5G technology somehow, or that it was a big fuss about nothing, maybe something like the flu. They weren't really sure what to believe, and they just carried on life as normal until they both came down with COVID. Brian recovered, but sadly, Erin, at the age of 46, died. Afterwards, Brian said, "Please use wisdom. Don't be foolish like I was, so the same thing won't happen to you." For Brian, seeing was believing. Why didn't Brian believe the health officials? In the end, it's because he didn't trust them. He and Erin paid a price for their lack of belief. It was foolish, Brian now says. Most of us do now believe in a little virus that we can't see, but many people still do not believe in Jesus, even though they have been told about him. Sometimes it seems as though the truth about Jesus has been deliberately covered up. When I was driving through Birmingham in December, I saw a Christmask sign, quite rightly reminding all of us to take precautions to prevent infection, but also a sad reminder that the truth of Jesus is hidden for many behind the tinsel and treats, even though we still celebrate his birth at Christmas together and we still use a calendar centered on his birth. But believing the truth about Jesus is much more important than believing health officials. Health officials are, we hope, trying to keep us healthy for another few decades, but Jesus offers us eternal life. Despite all the evidence, Brian thought that the COVID virus didn't really exist or was an invention or simply not a big deal. And despite all the evidence of the Bible, church history, and Christians who follow Jesus today, some people still think Jesus is not real or a theological invention or just a wise teacher. Well, this account begins in verse 43, after Jesus has spent 2 days in Samaria. He'd been talking with a Samaritan woman at a well, and she'd been surprised that he even talked to her at all, but even more amazed by what he told her about the morally complex details of her life. He told her in verse 26 that he's the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, that would save his people. And the woman invited her neighbors to meet him. They believed her and welcomed Jesus into their village. He delayed his journey home for 2 days to be with these Samaritans, people who his own people, the Jews, did not like. Jesus includes, invites, welcomes everyone. He loved those outsiders, people who were unlike him, who had no claim on him, different from his people. And the Samaritan villagers accepted Jesus, a stranger to them, into their homes because of what the woman, who they already knew, told them about him. Will you be ready to trust Jesus when you're introduced to him by someone that you know, when he speaks to you through his word, the Bible, when he speaks to you through dreams and visions? If you're not sure who Jesus is, you'd be very welcome to join the next Life Explored group, where you can ask any question and explore why Christians believe in Jesus. There's more information on the church website. Perhaps you don't feel like an outsider, but you can relate to those who belong, those who are at home. Most of this account takes place among the Jewish people in the area of Jesus' home. He's come back to Galilee, the place he lived from about the age of 2. These were his neighbors, the community of people who thought of him as one of their own. ordinary people with regular jobs, part of the faith community. Like most of us here, people who come to church, perhaps occasionally, perhaps every week. But they're also in danger of over-familiarity with Jesus and contempt for him, because they thought they knew him, or at least they knew about him. He was just the carpenter's son. But now they also knew him as the famous Jesus who did all those amazing things when they were down in Jerusalem, in the city, earlier. Jesus went back home to them, even though he saw through them, as it says in verse 44. He knew that they did not honor him. And yet now, in verse 45, they did welcome him. They'd seen him do wonderful things in Jerusalem. So it seems as though seeing was believing. But was it? Now he was back in Cana, the place where he previously turned water into wine at a big wedding, a miracle that most of them had apparently ignored. Seeing didn't lead to believing then. They already had evidence they had seen and didn't believe. Now they had more evidence, but what was it that they saw exactly? That Jesus was popular? They believe in Jesus in the sense that they like him now that he's become a superstar, someone of rising influence. If this was happening now, they would be like followers of Jesus on Twitter, sending lots of likes and reshares, but not really knowing him, not actually his friend. It's not clear that they really believe in Jesus, that they really believe he is the Son of God. After all, they didn't believe what they saw before, and most of them won't believe when the tide of popularity turns against him. They're fickle, half believing and half doubting. Perhaps you feel the same right now. Perhaps you're half believing and half doubting, unsure, but nervous when people talk about assurance. And that's okay. Jesus went home to his own people in Galilee anyway, and he comes back to us and for us. He loves us even though he knows that we can be fickle. We can be half-hearted. He's coming back for you, inviting you to continue following him. Perhaps you're comfortable in your faith right now. Jesus has shown you who he is. You have the evidence in the Bible on your phone. But do you really know Jesus, or do you just know about him like a follower on social media? Or is he more like an old friend that you trust but haven't really spent time with for ages? Are you spending time with Jesus? Do you have a set time to read the Bible every day? Would it help you to have a reading plan like the ones at the Navigator's website? Are you spending time with Jesus? The royal official was probably a Jew. He was a man of power and influence, but he knew that his son was ill and that he couldn't fix the problem. It seems that he believed that Jesus could heal his son. Perhaps he remembered the wedding at Cana when Jesus turned the water into wine. And so, as Claire said, the official traveled more than 20 miles from Capernaum to Cana just to see Jesus face to face. He believed Jesus before he could see him. And so he came seeking Jesus out. He left his own son, which meant abandoning his own efforts to help his son himself. He entrusted the situation to Jesus completely. We're not told whether the official completely trusted Jesus, but he was desperate enough to seek Jesus out and ask him, "What is it you need? Are you ashamed to ask Jesus? Don't be ashamed. He already knows. Are you trying to fix the problem yourself? Well, don't fool yourself if you know you cannot fix it. Is your loved one ill? Are your finances in a mess? Are two members of your family not speaking to one another? You can do what you can do, but no more. Do you know your need? Seek out Jesus. He has power over nature, over sickness, over even death." Now, this official was part of the establishment. He worked for and represented the Jewish leadership, and they were people who looked good. They worked hard to live right. They were leaders in the faith community. But of course, they were the same people who would later arrange for Jesus to die because they didn't like his radical ideas. But this official believed. He went and he asked Jesus to rescue his son, and Jesus heard him. Jesus seized the teachable moment in verse 48. The official must have been desperate with worry. But Jesus' first response is a rebuke, not just to the official, but to everyone. Unless you people, you all, see signs and wonders, you will never believe. Yes, the official is asking Jesus to heal his son, but does he really understand who Jesus is? Does he understand that Jesus has come to save every one of them? Do we understand, as Jesus put it earlier in the chapter in verse 13, that he has come to give us the living water that will become in us a spring of water welling up to eternal life? There's nothing wrong with the official's request, but did he really know who he was asking? It's a bit like asking the company CEO to make coffee or the master craftsman to chop firewood. Does the official know that he's asking the creator of the universe, the Son of God, to heal his son? What do you pray for? For healing? Good. There's nothing wrong and everything right with asking for healing. But are we sometimes in danger of missing the point, or as C.S. Lewis put it, just becoming too easily satisfied with playing in the mud because we don't understand what a holiday at the beach is like? Jesus isn't just offering us a slightly longer life here and now, filled with pain and eventual loss. Jesus offers us eternal life in his presence. Yes, Jesus is the answer to all our problems, but he's more than that. He's the Lord of the universe and Savior of the whole world. The official believes Jesus well enough to seek him out and ask, even though the community is rebuked for their lack of faith. But probably without thinking about it, the official speaks in verse 49 as though he knows what Jesus must do. "Sir, come down before my little boy dies." It seemed obvious to him that Jesus would have to travel with him to Capernaum to heal the boy. And Jesus' reply is a wonderful test of his faith. "Go," Jesus replied in verse 50, "your son is living." The official thought that he knew what needed to happen. It's as if Jesus said, "No, you don't know what must happen, but I know." And to his credit, the official took Jesus at his word. He believed him and left. And we learn that his son was healed at that exact moment, confirming his trust in Jesus and leading the whole household to believe. And we can note that the boy who was healed and other members of the household, they believed in Jesus without actually seeing him. This account reminds us of the contrasting account from Matthew 8 and Luke 7, which was about a Gentile centurion whose son was paralyzed. But he understood that Jesus didn't need to go to his home, that Jesus could simply speak a word to heal his son. And Jesus said of that centurion that he'd not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. The Jewish official in John 4 believed Jesus enough to seek him out and trusted Jesus at his word. But perhaps his faith remained deficient insofar as he wanted to tell Jesus how to heal his son. He thought he knew how Jesus should act. This is a good lesson for me. Do I come to Jesus with a test, telling him how I want him to act? Or do I come to him with trust, asking him to show me how he will act? Seeing is believing sounds scientific and logical, but it's not how we live. Even the simplest thing, like walking along a pavement, requires faith that the ground will not give way, as it did in Fulham, to the surprise of a lady who fell down this hole and ended up in hospital. But life would be impossible if we were so skeptical that we didn't trust pavements, always wanting a bit more evidence that what appears to be strong is in fact strong, and so on. The most important things in our lives all depend on trust. Our families, our friends, the people in charge of our banks, the quality controller at the tire factory, and so on and so on. Jesus reveals himself to you, even if you've never heard of him before, through his word or through dreams or through someone you know introducing him. Jesus doesn't give up on believers who half believe and half doubt. Knowing about him without necessarily really knowing him, sometimes fickle and half-hearted. Jesus rescued the official's household, including the son who'd not seen Jesus face to face, at the request of the official himself, who presumed to tell Jesus how he should do it. Whether you recognize Jesus' voice as soon as he speaks to you like Mary in the garden, or whether you demand to see for yourself like Thomas, Jesus reveals himself to you. So as I said before, if you're not sure about Jesus but have questions or want to discuss further, do join the next Life Explored group at the church website. If you do believe in Jesus, my question to you is, do you really trust him? Do you trust him even when you cannot feel his presence, when you cannot see him face to face? Do you know that Jesus loves you unconditionally? Trust him in all your brokenness. Do you know that Jesus loves you completely? Trust him in all your weakness. Do you know that Jesus loves you sovereignly? Trust him in all your helplessness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We ask that even as we believe, you would help us in our unbelief, that we would draw closer to you in stronger trust of you, that we would take your gospel as gospel, that we would lean on you, on your everlasting arms. In Jesus' name, amen.